I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Colourful still life paintings of bowls of fruit and flowers have been favourites of artists for generations, and there are thousands of examples of them in art galleries across the world. But now, two friends from Belgium, one an art historian, the other a plant biologist, are asking for your help to find paintings that can reveal clues about how some of our modern foods came into being. This unusual project came about when the two of them were on holiday in St. Petersburg and they went into a museum, as Yves de Smet told Eddie Haler.
If you look at carrots, everybody knows the orange carrots, but if you look at paintings at market scenes from the 15th, 16th century, we actually see purple, red and yellow carrots are the dominant variety at that time. So it really tells us something about where our food comes from.
Before we get on to art, how is it possible to study older generations of fruit and veg? Because all of this has either been eaten or it's rotten. So how do you figure stuff out?
You can go for archaeological evidence. You can find some old seeds, for example, where you can extract DNA from. You can go down in cesspits from monasteries or whatever. But this is something that we were not really keen on doing. You can also go to books and read about what people were eating, but certain difficulties arise. For example, if you want to investigate the orange carrot, orange did not exist as a word for a long time. So you need really something that has been documented in an artistic way to really kind of try and attribute some color to something.
So I'm imagining you just wandered into an art gallery one day. How did this come about?
I've been friends with my colleague and co-author David Vergouw for 30 years. Occasionally we go on a city trip and then we visit museum. And in St. Petersburg, we were standing in front of this painting from Franz Snijders. And there we observed a watermelon and it was unusually white on the inside. My comment was, okay, maybe this was actually a bad painter. And he said, no, this can't be because this is Franz Snijders. He's one of the best painters from his era. He's known for accurately depicting certain things. So if he paints it like this, it must have existed like that. So then this kind of sparked this discussion amongst us and we kind of thought, okay, maybe we can do something with both our backgrounds. So he's an art historian, I'm a molecular biologist. So maybe if we combine these things, we can come up with explanations about why something looks different and if there are kind of more examples of these to see if this was actually a common feature or not.
It's an unlikely pairing in some ways, but you sound a bit like detectives. Is it quite fun looking for a hidden strawberry or a peach in the background?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun because you really also you learn to appreciate art in a different way. You can have this amazing painting, and there are several examples of that. If you're interested in the evolution and history of the strawberry, this plant is very often depicted at the feet of the Virgin Mary because it also has this religious connotation. And therefore, you really have to go close to this painting and not look at this big representation of the Virgin Mary, but gaze at her feet and see what can be spotted there.
Can it seriously give you helpful information about how these foods evolve and on what kind of time scale they're evolving?
It's already cultivated in a way, no? So you have a domesticated plant. So in the example of the carrot, the wild ancestor is somewhere Afghanistan, northern India, and it has then been domesticated and then at some point reached Europe. And we see that first the varieties that become popular are the red and purple one, and that this orange one comes a little bit later. Now, the reason probably behind that is there is also this association with our food. The popularity of the orange carrot in the Netherlands and in northern Belgium is largely stemming from the fact that we have a lot of stews that we like to eat. And if you use a purple or a red carrot for that, which kind of loses its color, it starts to look a little bit brownish and not very appetizing. So therefore, the people in our areas started to use this orange carrot, which looks much nicer.
I got to ask you about that white watermelon. What was going on there?
What you typically have is that the watermelon is red fleshed, and this is because of the accumulation of the red color, the lycopene. So probably in that white watermelon, the production of this red color, this lycopene, it was disrupted. Because if you look at the ripening process of a watermelon, it really starts off as something that is white, and then it gradually turns red. The difference is that when it's mature and fully developed, the seeds will be black. And what Frans Snijders depicted is a watermelon cut in half, white, but with black seeds.
Yves de Smet from the University of Ghent, and his study is out now in the journal Trends in Plant Science. And if you spot a weird fruit or vegetable in a painting, they want you, please, to send them a picture of it along with the label on the wall next to it to this email. It's all one word, artgeneticsdavideve, and the Eve is spelt I-V-E, so that's artgeneticsdavideve, I-V-E, @gmail.com.